Leviticus chapter 14, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus chapter 14. Now, in chapter 13, we saw how leprosy was diagnosed. This chapter gives us the details of a ceremonial cleansing that needed to follow a cure, if there ever was a cure. And so we begin in chapter 14, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Notice how the priest went out of the camp to the leper. The leper did not come into the camp, because he was quarantined, or she. The priest is the one who pronounced a leper to be a leper, and only a priest could declare him officially clean. Only a priest could readmit him into society. Verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. These birds were provided for the man by the priest. They were not brought to the sanctuary, and no portion of them was ever offered on the altar. Verse 5. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. The killing of the first bird represented the state of the leper, who was dead, separated because of his plague, dead to society, dead to everything that was normal. And being sprinkled 7 times symbolized a complete purification. A living bird was then dipped in the blood of the bird that had been killed, and the living bird was also set free. And this was symbolic of the leopard's uncleanness being completely carried away, and also the end of his separation. He was free. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. What a great healing by Almighty God, because all healing comes from God. Verse 8, and he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. So after being sprinkled with the blood 7 times, the leper was cleansed and readmitted into the Israeli camp. He was not, however, allowed back into his tent or into the tabernacle to worship God. There was a 14-day period in which he washed himself and his clothes, plus shaved all of his hair. And this was to ensure that no remnant of leprosy remained with him. So God was very cautious on behalf of the healthy. And this should remind us that we are to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh as Christians. All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord, as the Bible says. 10. And on the 8th day, he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log or 1 pint of oil. As a cleansed leper enters the congregation of the Lord, he has to come with the proper offerings. And all these items represented offerings that an Israelite would make at one time or another during their life. They symbolized the fact that he had become one of the people again, a member of society. 11. And the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And this is exactly what happened when the priests were consecrated, you might remember, a couple of chapters ago, signifying complete and total dedication to the Lord. 15. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger. Notice the detail here. Right down to what hand and what finger to use. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And you better do it right, because this is the word of the Lord. You know, none of God's commands are frivolous. They all have meaning. And if he doesn't tell us, that's too bad. They have meaning to God, and if nothing else, they mean you better follow him, because he's the Lord. 17. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering, or the grain offering, upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And these verses describe the ceremony where the cleansed leper makes his offerings to God. He's no longer a leper. He is clean. And therefore he can stand by the door of the tabernacle like any other Israelite. 21. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a grain offering, and a log of oil. Verse 22, and 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So now, if he was poor and he just couldn't afford anything, he could bring these birds instead. A lot cheaper. And God didn't want to exclude anybody. He doesn't want to exclude anybody because they're poor. 24. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, with the meal offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. Whatever he can get, God repeats, whatever he can get, whatever he can afford, that's fine. Verse 32. And the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertains to his cleansing. That is the law, I should say. Of him to whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertains to his cleansing. Everything is going to be okay. So these verses explain the offering of a person if he was poor. 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when you become into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession, and he that owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seems to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague. And all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. So leprosy in a house. You say, how can a house have a disease? Well, probably refers to a fungus that entered into the house's structure. And we know today that this sort of thing is dangerous to the health of people who live in these homes like that. Everyone. And everything was removed. And the priest then made an inspection. So priests, you know, they were not only civil rulers under the Lord and religious rulers and mediators between God and the people, but they also were house inspectors. They had very busy work, very busy job, didn't they? Or a very busy life, I should say, and a variety of things that they did. The priest then made an inspection, okay, and he shut it up for 7 days. And if he still found leprosy after 7 days, then he'd remove the plaster from the infected parts and they'd take away the infected stones. And then verse 43. And if the plague come again and break out in the house after that he has taken away the stones and after he has scraped the house and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a spreading leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house. And he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goes into the house, all the while that it is shut up, shall be unclean until the evening. And he that lies in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eats and the house shall wash his clothes. It's been contaminated, at least ritualistically, ceremonially contaminated, which is a picture of the contamination of sin that needs to be cleansed. And we're seeing this, aren't we? Throughout the book of Leviticus, this theme plays itself out in many different ways, because that's the issue. Sin contaminates and blood cleanses, especially the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if after the house has been renovated, there again appears an infection, the house had to be totally demolished and removed. And the Bible says, Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to go into heaven minus a hand than go into hell with both hands. And you need to cut off sin in your life and cut off the thing that causes sin, or it'll take you down for sure. 48. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. And again, this all has spiritual significance. The infection referring to sin, the cleansing, whether it by bird or animal, the blood of the cleansing, all pictures the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the same ritual with 2 birds is followed, just as if it was a cleansed leper. Verse 54. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scab, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. You see that God's law, God's word, is so comprehensive. It covers everything in principle. And the Holy Spirit is there with us to fill in the gap between the comprehensive and the exhaustive, to make the Word of God apply to our situations. And God has given us common sense to be able to do it as well. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is the wellspring of common sense. And we get it because the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is common sense, how to apply facts, how to apply knowledge. And so God has given us this knowledge and this wisdom in His Word. And it's to make our lives better.